TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
Trey surveys the double screen. Long pass! Reverse jam! Oh my goodness! Timeout Minnesota. Okogie nearly got that from behind. Now the bounce. Kevin Huerter finds Vince for three in the lead. Vince with five on the shot clock. Finds Bembry. DeAndre driving, and that is going to be good! Bembry on the reverse! He's been the MVP in overtime.
He's been the whole overtime.
Atlanta wins it by 8. Minnesota just 2 of 10 from the field in the overtime. DeAndre Bembry was the hero.
That was the scene last night in Atlanta as the Wolves go down to the Atlanta Hawks. This is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. Get in on the action at 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Wolves reporter Danny Cunningham alongside Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. And lots to get to as it pertains to your Minnesota Timberwolves this afternoon. But got to start with that game last night, guys.
Yikes.
And it wasn't in the highlight package there, but the final play at regulation, when Derrick Rose didn't even have a good shot and the Wolves had a chance to win the game, he goes ahead and takes the shot anyways, and Karl Anthony Towns, who looked like, Danny, you could probably tell better than I could, was trying to set up a pick and roll with D. Rose. Rose wanted nothing to do with that. It was his shot as far as he was concerned.
Yep.
And it obviously didn't fall. And then it goes to overtime and the Wolves just had nothing left for overtime. How does Karl Anthony Towns, and Judd Zolgad was just screaming this in the hallways before we came on, how does Karl Anthony Towns not touch the ball on the last play of regulation there?
Because Derrick Rose elected to not let him. That's the only way that I can view that, because you have to imagine that Ryan Saunders called for a pick and roll involving Derek and Carl on that final possession, or else Carl would not have come up. They were coming out of a timeout, so it was a set play, and then Derek elected not to use it. Derek elected to forego using Carl, who is unequivocally the best player, and I don't think it's close on this roster, and he's the guy that you want taking that final shot. The Wolves have had a problem all year getting him the ball in those situations. We saw Jared Bayless miss two buzzer beaters. We saw Wiggins miss one. We saw Derrick Rose now miss two and make one.
I didn't think about the complete picture until you just put it together of how many times they've had opportunities for game-winning shots, and it didn't end up in Karl Anthony Towns' hands.
The only time it did end up in Karl Anthony Towns' hand is when it was an offensive rebound.
Right.
That's the only time he's had the ball, and he made that buzzer beater
against Memphis.
But that's the only time he's had the opportunity to win the game, and it wasn't even quote unquote by design. Last night, there's an issue. Derrick Rose has to find a way to get Carl the ball. It's at this point, it's inexcusable. He's your best player by far. It's not close.
And it's not like it was an off night. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it the last trip down that he got the putback and the slam and the end
I
one?
Think it was two trips prior.
Okay. All right.
But that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter like the time. But yeah, I mean, he had 37 and 18. The dude's a freak. He's the most important player. He is the most important person in this organization.
Oh, by far. It's not even close.
And he needs to have the ball late. It's tough to get the big guy a ball late. Like, I understand that. It's not as easy as having a wing or a guard or someone that can handle the ball more efficiently than Towns can late, because they can dribble and ISO and score. And that's why we see so many guys that are successful late in games. It's Kyrie, it's Steph, it's Kevin Durant, it's LeBron, because they can have the ball in their hands at any point on the floor, and it's not a big deal because they're capable ball handlers. And Karl Anthony Towns isn't quite that. And that's where the issue is, because he is a big guy. But you have to get him the ball. It doesn't matter how you do it. You have to get him the ball somehow, some way. And the Wolves have failed to do that time and time again.
And the thing is, Manny, while yes, he's Karl Anthony Towns can't handle the ball in ISO and drive to the hoop as efficiently as a Derrick Rose or some of these smaller guys can, but he can score from so many different spots on the floor. This isn't a big guy who you have to feed down under the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Set up a play where he's out by the three-point line. Set up. He can hit it from almost anywhere on the floor. So it is
your best offensive weapon.
Exactly.
He's your best player.
Right.
You put the ball in your hands of your best player.
It's indisputable.
When it's a tie game or you're down by one and you're trying, and it's the final possession of regulation, you put the ball in your hands of your best player. You find a way. If it's a big guy, you find a way to get the ball into his hands. If it's a wing player or a point guard, if it's Kyrie, like Danny was saying, if it's Kyrie, he's got the ball in his hand, so it's easier. If it's Damian Lillard with the Trailblazers, it's easier because they're guards. They can handle the ball. But if your best player is a big guy, it's harder, but you still got to find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that last night, and they had an opportunity. All Derrick Rose had to do was just give him the damn ball. Give him the ball. It's that simple.
It's a frustrating thing. It's a very frustrating thing because there's no good reason for him to not have the ball
at all.
It's I understand if you want Wiggins taking that shot because you've got so much invested in him. It might not be the best outcome, but I can understand that.
Like, even if Kat's not gonna take the shot,
mm-hmm.
give him the ball. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Give him the ball because maybe you give him the ball and he draws a double team.
He draws two or three defenders. He draws two or three defenders
and gets a wide open shot. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, just he has to touch the ball in that situation. He just has to.
Do you think this points to a bigger problem? And this was apparently a big problem for the Bucks last year before Mike Budenholzer came in and they figured all this out. It's apparently one of the rifts in the Celtics locker room now. Obviously, this is on a much lower level. We're talking about a team who's scrapping and clawing to get in the discussion for the eighth seed in the West. But that guys don't know their role and where they stand within the organization and on the roster. And I love Derrick Rose, but this is a guy who's had a lot of success in this league and maybe still thinks he's that guy.
He does.
And isn't necessarily ready to defer and say, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns is the best player on this team, and I have to defer to him in situations like this. Do you think there are guys, Derrick Rose and maybe others on the roster, who don't realize the pecking order of the organization, and like you said, Danny, that Karl Anthony Towns is not just the best player, but the most important person, period, in the Timberwolves organization?
I don't know that that's the case. I think everyone realizes that Karl is the most talented, and in the money situation, Karl's not the highest paid guy right now, but he will be next year when his extension kicks in. The highest paid guy right now is Andrew Wiggins, and he doesn't seem to really have aspirations to be the best player on the team. And that matters. Where Derrick Rose probably does think that he's a little bit better than he actually is. And he had a good first half last night, but he was atrocious in the second half, and that he was a big reason why they lost that game. And part of it was, I think he felt like he needed to carry Jared Bayless's minutes last night because Bayless wasn't very good either. And then Luol Deng going out injured with a sore Achilles really hurt them. That was a big detriment to their efforts in winning that game, is if Luol Deng's on the court, I don't know that Derrick Rose is there. I think if Luol Deng is able to play, you might be closing with Tyus, Wiggins, Deng, Towns, and then probably Sharp.
Just because of how cold D. Rose was in the second half?
Yeah, and because you've got another capable guy on the wing, where if you don't have Luol Deng, your next option there is who? After Derrick Rose, right now, with no Robert Covington, you're not putting Kata Bates-Diop in. It's just, that's what you had.
Right.
There weren't really, I mean, if I could change one thing about what Saunders did on that final possession, I would have rather had Tyus Jones initiate the pick and roll instead of Derrick Rose, because
Tyus would have gotten Kat the ball.
Now, Tyus isn't as dangerous a shooter from that spot as Derrick Rose is, but Tyus would have found a way to get Karl the ball, and I think that's what matters.
Manny, do you think that there's some sort of internal power struggle or guys not knowing where they stand in this organization and what the pecking order is?
No, I think everybody knows that Kat is the guy.
Including D. Rose?
Including Derrick Rose.
Because if you guys are saying that everybody gets it, including D. Rose, then I really have no explanation for what happened last night. Because the way I sort of made this make sense in my head was, okay, D. Rose still thinks he's that dude.
I think what it is I think Derrick realizes that Kat is the guy and the best player, but Derrick also, for most of his career, at least his time in Chicago, was always the guy that was taking the big shots for them. He was always the guy. So it's like he knows that Kat's the number one guy, but when you're in a game, you kind of have this. Maybe you kind of have this mentality. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Derrick Rose's head, but mm-hmm. maybe you have this mentality of, I'm a creator, I'm a guard, I can score, I can make something happen on my own. Like, it's just sort of that natural mentality to just go for that shot yourself. But Derek's got to realize you just got to get the ball to Cat. Somehow, some way, you got to get the ball to your guy.
Like you said, Manny, he doesn't have to necessarily take the last shot, but in that situation, he's got to touch the ball.
Yes.
Has to touch the ball.
Yeah. If he draws two defenders over on him and then somebody's going to be open, Cat's a smart enough guy to make the right play and to find the right guy. Or, you know, he's talented enough that even maybe if he's double teamed, he can still hit a shot. It's just you have to give yourself the best chance to be able to score in that situation. And the best chance there was getting the ball into the hands of Karl-Anthony Towns.
Did that loss last night put to bed any playoff hopes that were still alive?
It didn't entirely put them to bed, but it made their next six games must wins. They can't lose any of these next six. They have to win tonight in Indianapolis against the Pacers. They have to win on Sunday against the Wizards. They have to beat OKC when they come to town next Tuesday. They have to win all of these games before March 12th. So if they have slip-ups between now and March 12th, when their schedule really turns tough, then it's nearly impossible. But last night really hurt them. And there have been a number of games like that this year.
Right.
They've had six or seven games that you look at on paper and say, that should be a win. And it hasn't been. Detroit at home,
Atlanta
Memphis
at
twice,
home.
In Orlando, in New Orleans when Anthony Davis was in that really weird stage, which he's still in, but it was the first night of that. Atlanta at home, Phoenix on the road. They've had a bunch of games that you're like, the Wolves should have no problem winning
this game. They lost to Memphis twice. Mm-hmm. The Memphis Grizzlies.
Now granted, the first Memphis loss that they had, Memphis was playing really well. At that time, Memphis was, I think, number two in the Western Conference. The first loss, it's not good looking back on it, but at the time, Memphis was like 15-7. They got off to a really good start, and the Wolves were one of those games that they won early. So I get that one a little bit. It doesn't look great looking back on it or looking at it on paper, but I also understand that. Now, the one where they lost in Memphis when Marc Gasol didn't play before he got traded, that one's inexcusable. That one's the bad one. The other one I get, the Detroit loss, where they gave up like 8 three-pointers in the fourth quarter to the Pistons.
One of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league.
And they hit 19 threes against the Wolves. Those losses are inexcusable, and that's what's doomed this team.
Because they sit now, what, four games out of the eighth spot in the West? And they were on a roll there. They had won, what, four out of five?
Mm-hmm.
And after knocking off the Kings, who, when the Wolves won that game, they had pulled themselves, when the Wolves won that game, the Kings had the eighth seed. They had pulled themselves to within two games of that eighth seed in the Western Conference. And I think people were looking at this team and going, okay, maybe this is the push that really, no, I don't know that anybody expected it, but the push that maybe people were waiting for from the Wolves in terms of making some noise in the postseason picture. But
and the other,
go ahead. Sorry, man.
Well, I was just going to say the other problem too is tonight, you just played an overtime game on the front end of a back-to-back, and now you got a pretty good opponent, even though, granted, they're without their best player for the rest of the season. Indiana's still a pretty good team, and you're playing on a back-to-back after playing in overtime last night. So
Indiana's still the three seed in the East.
Yeah,
like they're nothing to sneeze at. They're not what they were, but they're a good defensive team, and they will lose in the first round of the playoffs if they slip to four. Even if at three, I think I might take Brooklyn over them. But they're hard to prepare for on a nightly basis.
Yep.
They're a very hard team to play in the regular season because they're going to give you that effort. The intensity level on their part is going to be turned up. And when you've got Karl-Anthony Towns playing 41 minutes the night before, Tyus Jones played 37, Josh Okogie played 33, you don't know if you're going to have Luol Deng. Jared Bayless wasn't good. Derrick Rose did not look himself in the second half. You don't know if he's going to what he's going to be able to bring tonight. Like, all of those things matter in tonight's game. Now, on the bright side for the Wolves, the Pacers played last night too. And they were on the road. They were in Dallas last night. So they also have to travel home. So that eases the blow of this a little bit, that both teams are on the second night of a back-to-back, but it's still a tough situation.
How is Indiana still the three seed in the East, man? When Oladipo went down, they play defense, man. But when Oladipo went down, did you jump to the same conclusion I did, that this was a team that would slip at least into the lower half of the Eastern playoff picture, if not out of the playoff picture altogether, to lose a player as good as Oladipo?
I thought they would finish fifth, because there's enough of a gap between five and six. Like the Celtics are currently 10.5 games behind the Bucks in fifth, and the Nets are in sixth. They're 16 games back. So there's a huge gap there. I didn't think that they would slip below there, but I thought 1 through 4 in some order would be Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, and Boston, with Indiana locked in at fifth, just like last year.
And with Boston having their struggles because they've lost four in a row, that's kind of helped Indiana
True.
Stay, you know, kind of stay afloat and stay in that spot in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, they're a half game above Philly, and they're currently three games above Boston, and they still have to play the Celtics twice. So it's still not out of the realm of possibility that the Pacers do finish in fifth in the Eastern Conference. But even with the Oladipo injury, I never saw them sliding below Brooklyn at six.
Okay. I just thought a player as good as Oladipo, you lose a guy like that.
No, you're right.
Most NBA teams go right into the tank.
It eliminated, in my opinion, any chance of them winning a series in the playoffs. Unless they somehow find a way to stay at three and match up with Brooklyn, that's a winnable series for them. I might pick the Nets in that series, but it would be a winnable series for them. Whereas if they're in that 4-5 matchup against either Boston or Philadelphia, as it's looking to be, I'm not picking them to win that series no matter what.
More,
even if Victor Oladipo's healthy, I probably wouldn't.
More on Karl-Anthony Towns not touching the ball on that last shot in regulation. As I know Judd Zulgad has lots of thoughts on this, so there's a rant coming up probably right around 4 o'clock.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a column yet.
Here on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Zulgad colon something about Karl-Anthony Towns. Shocked.
He might be over there banging away at the keyboard right now, as we know.
He could be. I think maybe he's too preoccupied that Zim's talked today.
I did invite him in here because, like I said, he was screaming about this in the hallways right before we came on the air. I said, we're about to raise some wolves, Judd. If you want to come and join us, you can get this off your chest. And he said, and this is an obvious lie. He said, no, you guys got enough brain power in there. Come
on. I don't know that there are any capable minds in this room.
I really don't think so. I have my doubts. If any, it's Manny. And the only reason I think
he's
that
not
is,
in this room.
The other, well, that's
Manny's
true.
In the other room.
The only reason I think that is because of his encyclopedic Super Bowl memory. That's the only reason that I'm saying Manny might be a capable mind on this show right now. But me and Danny, forget about it. We're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We're going to play some fantasy basketball. And when I say fantasy, I mean like real fantasies for your Timberwolves.
Like Wizards?
Borderline Wizards. That's next. It's like raised magic by wolves on Score North on 1500 at scorenorth.com.
Because the Vikings are on your mind
all the time,
not just during the season. Purple Daily.
I don't feel like the Rams are that far from the Vikings. Like, I don't feel like the gap on paper is so significant to where you go, oh my goodness, the Vikings could never be that. Why not? Like, aren't the Vikings supposed to be that? Like, if you go back a year ago with the investment in Kirk Cousins, with all the pieces coming back, Thielen and Diggs, with all of the defensive pieces, aren't they supposed to be the Rams? What am I missing?
Purple Daily on Score North. Score North. You can tell everyone that we met online. ScoreNorth.com.
It is Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com. Just one of our lineup of Wolves programming here on Score North. You can check out Myron on Hoops every Friday or whenever you want at ScoreNorth.com. Just search Score North Twins wherever you download podcasts, or make it real easy on yourself and just download the Score North app, now available for Android and Apple. And the more you listen on the app, the better chance you have to win cool prizes like TVs and stuff that we give away. So show us some love and we'll show you some love.
So a Twitter question from Rami Makloff. Where can a guy get a good bowl of soup for lunch in the Twin Cities?
I need some soup today.
I-94.
You guys got soup suggestions? And don't tell me Panera. I want like some real homemade soup.
Speedway's got canned soup.
I hate you, dude. I hate you so much.
What happened? How did your, didn't you make like homemade chicken and wild rice soup the
last
other day,
Friday?
Like last week?
I told Manny my plans for the weekend, not this past weekend, but the previous weekend. Mm-hmm. My plans were to go home on Friday and make a giant pot of chicken and wild rice soup and wrap myself in a blanket and not leave my apartment all weekend other than to let my dog out. And I did exactly that, Manny. I also, just to make it a little bit better, I bought some five cheese Texas toast from the freezer section of my local grocer.
Okay.
So I had a little toast on the side to dip in my soup.
Nice.
Oh, man. That's
good.
I don't know about you, Danny Cunningham, but that's a good weekend for me. Big pot of chicken and wild rice soup
I probably had more fun than you last weekend.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, Danny saw Ja Rule perform.
I did. That's I saw
true.
Ja Rule.
That's
weekend,
true.
So.
That is true.
Last weekend was amazing.
You got
it could
me
not
there.
Have gone better.
Oh, man. Okay. So ESPN SportsCenter, actually, they put out a tweet of the top 10 players under the age of 25 and said, pick two players to start your franchise. One of those 10 players, obviously, is Minnesota's very own Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yes.
So
I believe he came in at the fourth best player under 25 years old.
Okay. So for the purposes of this show and for the Timberwolves and our listeners, and you can get in on the action at 651-646-8255. We want to know which one of these other top 10 players under 25 you would pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. You can also tweet us at Score North. And here are the players. Jason Tatum, Nikolai Jokic, Donovan Mitchell.
Nikola
Jokic.
There you go.
Ben Simmons. I have a real hard time with German and Russian names. De'Aaron Fox, Joel Embiid. Here's another one I'm going to screw up. Luka Doncic. Doncic?
Mm. One more time.
Doncic? Luka Doncic?
Doncic.
All right. And Devin Booker. And this one I do know how to say. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I like how that's the one you can say.
For me, I told you, it's Russian and German.
And how can you not say Nikola? Mirotić played for your beloved Bulls for how long?
I've had trouble for it ever since. That's why I just call him Nico Suave.
And he's Serbian. He's not even Russian. Whatever.
Okay, German. Eastern European, Russian.
Can you say Dirk?
I don't want to say they're all the same, but their names are very similar.
Can you say Dirk? That's a German one.
Dirk Nowitzki. That's an easy one to say. I even put the hard V in there. But for me, and I don't know if you guys agree, I think there's one guy who we should just take out of the conversation because it's too obvious an answer.
Sure.
Giannis.
Yeah.
Right?
I get that. Yeah, that's fine. And I think it becomes a much more fun discussion
exactly.
if you don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, you'd want to pair Giannis with any player in basketball. Like, yeah, of course. But I think it becomes a much more fun conversation if we just say, let's pretend he turned 25 yesterday.
This is a whole nother conversation, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. To me, Giannis is the next, like, torchbearer for the NBA. Like, once LeBron is
possible.
Done.
Okay. He needs to have playoff moments still.
Right.
But it's possible, and I don't know how long that torch will be bared. If it is, I don't think his reign will be as long as LeBron's, where LeBron has been the best player in the league for just about 12 years now.
Right.
I don't think his run will be that long. I think that LeBron kind of took over in a time where there wasn't as much talent in the NBA as there is right now. And then once he got to Miami, it changed and there was so much more talent, but he was at the absolute height of his powers. And he's not quite there still, but until someone unseats him, he has to be there. But I think you could be right. I don't know how long that'll last, but I think you could be right.
Just for fun, even though we're taking him out of the question, let's imagine a world where Karl-Anthony Towns and Giannis do play together. The thing that's so appealing about that to me is that in today's NBA, you want all your points scored in the paint or behind the three-point line. Mm-hmm. And that's where you would get the vast majority of your scoring if you had those two guys. Because Giannis... He's working on the three-pointer, and
he's been better.
It's getting better every month of the season.
I think he shot 45% in February. His attempts are a little bit down, I think, but he's making more of them. He couldn't have got worse. Like, I think he shot 6% in October, November.
Right.
Like, it was really bad.
But between those two guys, you should never be outscored in the paint, and Karl-Anthony Towns can do some things from beyond the arc.
Yes.
So you could really do some damage in the modern NBA game that's being played with those two guys. It wouldn't even be fair for the rest of the league. So with Giannis, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I think it's fun, although, so on this list, they have the age listed on ESPN.com for their top 25 under 25. Carl is fourth, and he's the three ahead of him in first, second, and third are all older than him. Like, all three of them are not eligible to be on this list next year, although I don't think Carl will be number one on this list year, but he would be eligible to be.
Right.
Which is fun.
So between Booker, Doncic, did I get it right that time?
Mm-hmm.
Embiid, De'Aaron Fox, Jokic. I'm not going to attempt the first name. Donovan Mitchell.
Jokic is harder. The last name's harder than the first name.
Not for me, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Not for me.
Just call him Nico.
Nico Jokic. All right.
Or just call him the Joker.
Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum. Manny, let's go to you first. Who would you pair with Karl-Anthony Towns?
Luka. Luka.
Yeah. Why? How do you envision that working?
That would be
those
a lot
guys?
Of fun, man. Luka can do just about everything, and he is not afraid to take big shots. I think if you had a situation like last night, now while I would trust Luka to make the shot himself at the end of regulation, I think Luka is also a guy that would get the ball to Karl-Anthony Towns if it's the right play, as opposed to what Derrick Rose did last night. So Luka just has it, man. He has all the physical tools, obviously, but he just has this, he plays with this edge and this confidence, and you can just kind of see it in him that he just has superstar written all over him. So for me, it's Luka.
Luka is a great choice because in my eyes, I envision pairing Karl Anthony Towns with a great shooter, which is I think what they had in mind with Andrew Wiggins. Obviously, that never worked out.
Yeah, he's not a great shooter.
So for me, it comes down to two guys, and one of them is just a pure scorer and shooter, and the other one is more of an all-around player, but still a pretty good shooter. For me, it came down to Jason Tatum and Devin Booker, just because of the style of play that I'm talking about. Like I said, you want all your points scored from three-point land or in the paint.
Okay.
And I have visions of Devin Booker either driving and kicking out to Karl Anthony Towns on the three-point line, or Devin Booker himself standing on the three-point line, drawing attention, and a wide-open Karl Anthony Towns under the hoop, or flip that around, Karl Anthony Towns drawing a lot of attention under the hoop and a wide-open Devin Booker standing at the three-point line. That's very intriguing and appealing to me in today's NBA.
So here's the thing with Tatum and why I wouldn't pick him. His game is very, very similar to Andrew Wiggins's. He's a better player than Andrew Wiggins, and it's not necessarily
and he tries
close.
On defense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does that, but I'm just speaking offensively because that's really the only fit that you talked about.
Yeah.
And that's fine. His game is very similar to Andrew Wiggins. He takes a lot of those mid-range jump shots. He's not the greatest ball handler in the world. He doesn't get to the foul line enough. Those things are what Andrew Wiggins is. He's just a little bit better of a shooter. He doesn't take as many terrible mid-range jump shots, but they're very similar players. So that's why I would try to stray away from Jason Tatum there. I do like Devin Booker, though, because he's a better ball handler than Tatum. He can shoot better from the outside than Tatum. And I just think that overall, he's a little bit better of a player. I know he's not ranked higher than him on this list, partly because Tatum has done it in the playoffs and plays for a good team. And
Devin
Booker plays on a team that's going to lose 55-plus games.
That's what I was just going to say. I don't know if enough people know how good Devin Booker is because he's on the West Coast technically with they're in the Western time zone for half the year. And he's
which is odd, but
it's so weird. Yeah. and they're a terrible team. So who's really paying attention to the Phoenix Suns to see Devin Booker do what Devin Booker does? I think he's off a lot of people's radars simply by a function of where he plays and the franchise that he plays for.
Yeah, I mean, Booker was the only guy that's currently in the top 15 in points per game in the NBA that was not an all-star.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, he's shown you he can score. He's had 70 points in a game, like 7-0. That's pretty impressive.
It is.
And the other part of it, too, is
I've never done it.
The other part too is Devin Booker and Kat are, they're buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, are they? I didn't even know that.
Well, where did they both go to college?
Oh, Kentucky, that's right.
Yeah, Wildcats.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you know that. I always forget that guys played together in college because college basketball isn't really my thing. You despise college basketball.
39-1 or whatever?
Yeah. You lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four.
I know that because their regional was in Cleveland, and that's where I was at the time.
Oh, okay.
So their Sweet 16 Elite Eight game, and I'm a Notre Dame fan, and they beat Notre Dame.
You're a Notre Dame fan?
Yeah, and they beat Notre Dame in the
Jerry and Grant almost hit the winner again.
That was the Jerry and Grant Pat Connaughton.
So you despise college basketball, but you're a Notre Dame. How are you a Notre Dame fan?
I mean, it's more football, but like when they're in the tournament, I watch them. I haven't watched them this year. I'm not going to lie. But like, if I'm going to watch somebody, it's going to be them. And they suck right now, so I'm not going to watch them.
All right, so off this list, Danny, Booker, Doncic, Embiid, Fox, Jokic, Mitchell, Simmons, and Tatum. Who are you pairing with Karl Anthony Towns and why?
My first choice, like Manny, is Luka Doncic. I think that you talked about Giannis as being the next torchbearer in the NBA, and that very well may come to fruition as soon as this May. But the reason I don't think it'll last nearly as long as LeBron's has is because Luka Doncic is that good.
Really?
I think Luka Doncic is an MVP. I think he's a guy that will be at one point the best player in the NBA. I am higher on him than a lot of people, and a lot of people are very, very high on him, but I think he could potentially be the next.
Who's the comp?
LeBron. He is the best teenager we've seen since LeBron, and I mean, happy birthday to Luka because today he turned 20, but he's what he's able to do with his vision and everything off the ball. He's not as big and strong as LeBron.
He's not as athletic as LeBron.
No, but everything that makes LeBron great isn't necessarily his athleticism.
No.
Because a lot of guys in the NBA are super athletes. We're talking top 1% of the top 1% of just athletic freaks in the world. But Luka's got the passing and the vision that 19 or, well, now he's 20 as of today, that people like him at his age don't possess. There are plenty of guys that will play 15-year careers and don't have this type of vision and basketball IQ that Luka has. The shot making is going to get better. He's proven to be an okay shooter. He's going to be a better shooter. He's someone that I think can potentially be the best player in basketball. And that's why I think Giannis's reign might not be that long, because I think that there's someone there already knocking on that door. Giannis is definitely the better player now and will be for probably a couple more years. But by the time Luka gets to be 23, 24, I'm not so sure that that's going to be the case, because he can just do so many things at an already elite level and he's only 20 years old.
When I saw him at Target Center earlier this season, that's when I was sold. I already liked him and was pretty high on him, but then when I saw him in person just take over that game, like, I was like, this kid is serious business, man.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I wish you guys could have seen Judd watching him. Judd was amazed at how well Luka Doncic played that game. I think he had 30 points. He hit the game-winning shot with, I believe, under 45 seconds. It was a three at the top of the arc. He was unbelievably impressive. He's been outstanding this season. It's the best we've seen a rookie play since maybe Anthony Davis. He's been unbelievable.
And once he gets healthy, Doncic is going to be playing alongside Kristaps Porzingis, which
is number 11 on this list and also phenomenal. Now, I have questions about him because of his injury history, and everyone points to the knee, but he's had other injuries throughout his career where he hasn't been able to stay totally healthy for a full season yet. So that's that. I understand having those concerns. I'm a big Kristaps Porzingis fan. I really liked him on the Knicks. Obviously, he hasn't played yet for the Mavericks, but I think that that pairing is going to be awesome for Dallas. I think it would be, imagine if Dallas finds a way to win the lottery this year, because they're not going to be a playoff team. They're a couple games behind the Wolves. If they somehow sneak into that top four and get another transcendent player, say they get two and they can draft RJ Barrett or Cam Reddish or Ja Morant from Murray State, then you could be looking at a potential dynasty a couple years down the road, because those guys could be that good.
All right, you said you had two guys in mind, though, to pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. Who's the other one?
The other one was here earlier this week, De'Aaron Fox. I don't know that we talk about De'Aaron Fox enough, because he's playing in Sacramento, which has for the past 15 or so years essentially just been a basketball wasteland. It's where careers have gone to die.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, Corey Brewer signed with the Kings for the rest of the season 5 minutes ago, according to The Athletic.
Nice knowing you, Corey.
Yes. And did you see the picture of him when Giannis dunked yesterday?
Yes.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's like he was Photoshopped in there. Or it was one of those, like, you hear the record scratch and go, I guess you're wondering how I got myself into this situation. That's what Corey Brewer looked like last night. But De'Aaron Fox might be the fastest guy in the NBA. And
Cat's style of game fits
in up-tempo offense, because he can do so many things as a big man. Yeah, he can go on the block and do traditional big man things, but he can also do everything that you want today's big man to be able to do. And pairing him with a guy like De'Aaron Fox would really accentuate that growth for him. It would make him so much better. I think that it would be almost not quite my dream pairing, because Luka's out there, but I don't think that we talk about De'Aaron Fox as just a rising star in this league. He didn't have a great rookie year, but the leap that he took from year one to year two has been the biggest that we've seen amongst anyone in his draft class. He's been awesome this season.
And you just like him because he's been better than Lonzo too.
Lonzo's just not good. Like, Lonzo's a solid defender and a good passer. He's got good vision, but offensively he can't score, and that's the most important thing in basketball. Like, you need to be able to find a way to be able to put the ball in the hoop. The dude's shooting below 50% from the free throw line as a guard. Mm-hmm. And he's 6'6" and can't finish at the rim. Like, last year he was among the lowest in restricted area shooting percentages, and he's a 6'6" guard. Like, Isaiah Thomas was a better rim finisher 2 years ago in Boston than Lonzo Ball was his rookie year. Isaiah Thomas is 5'8".
Don't knock guys who are 5'8".
He can't dunk either.
But the thing I love about De'Aaron Fox more than anything is he did the best job of anyone of trolling Ja Rule, if you ask me.
That was amazing.
That was great. Fantastic.
We could use more of that here.
When Ja Rule put a curse on the Kings and the Wolves because he doesn't know who Karl-Anthony Towns
Said that he also told the Kings that Karl-Anthony Towns was going to leave their franchise, which he's never been a part of.
De'Aaron Fox,
that would be disastrous for them.
De'Aaron Fox responded, "You need to curse Milwaukee," two laughing face emojis. Are we ready? I guess not. That was the tweet from De'Aaron Fox. We'll hit a quick break and take a look at some other NBA news and notes. Nobody else has trolled Ja Rule since, so that won't be part of our NBA news and notes, but we'll take a look at some other NBA news and notes here on Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500 and ScoreNorth.com.
So North.
ScoreNorth.com.
You are still allowing distractions to affect you how the way you play, then this is the wrong franchise to be a part of, and you should just come and be like, listen, I can't do this. Like, seriously, you're distracted by playoff pushes and all the stuff that's been talked about this year. Just come and do your job. We do our job at a higher level, and that's not a distraction. That's what you want. That's what you want. Every game, you want to feel like you fight for something.
That was LeBron James after a loss a couple nights ago, and that was a video that, along with the video of LeBron standing around and not playing defense in that loss while the ball was just going all around him, and he was just sort of standing in one spot.
So I have a take on that.
Okay.
That was a miscommunication on a pick and pop.
Okay.
Like, LeBron dropped because he thought that the other defender was going to go over the screen, and the roller was going to roll into him, and the other defender went under. So they both dropped, and that's why that guy was wide open.
Okay.
Because there was a miscommunication.
And actually,
it looks bad, and when LeBron realized the miscommunication, he should have ran out to the arc, and he didn't. So that I'll fault him for, but him being so far away was a result of a miscommunication. Like, it looks bad when you isolate it.
Right.
But if you watch that full play, it's not, oh, LeBron just didn't care. There was a miscommunication between he and another defender.
But that leads right to what I was just about to do, which was defend LeBron James. It wasn't that exact defense. My defense for that play, first of all, was going to be that if you put a camera on any NBA player for 48 minutes or however many minutes they play on a given night, you're going to find plays that they take off. It's an incredibly physically demanding game, and to think that a guy is just going to run from one end to the court to the other end of the court and give max effort for every single second that he's out there on the court, even LeBron James.
Especially LeBron James that's been around for how long?
Right. You're going to see them take some time off, but that's an even better explanation that there was a miscommunication on the defense that they called. And that soundbite there, which a lot of people took and ran with on social media and elsewhere, and I'll admit I made some jokes about it when I first saw it come across my timeline, it wasn't what it seemed. That wasn't LeBron calling out his young teammates and saying, if you're still distracted by trade chatter and playoff talk, then you don't belong here. And the reporter who actually asked him that question clarified later, he asked LeBron, he said, do you think guys on this team are still you know, affected by the trade chatter and a playoff push? And he was essentially saying that he didn't think anybody on his team was suffering from that. He was saying, if you are a guy who was distracted by that, then you don't belong here. So it wasn't what it seemed on the surface. If you saw just the video of the answer out of context of the question, it looked like, and LeBron has had a history of doing this in the past, so that's why people took this and ran with it. It looked like he was throwing his teammates under the bus.
No, and in that game against Memphis, he got made fun of for that defensive play and what looks like bad defense, but a stat that's not going to get talked about is that opponents shot 1 of 10 against him as the primary defender. Like, he had a good defensive game. They had one miscommunication that looked really bad on his part, but it wasn't as if the effort wasn't there. They didn't lose that game because of LeBron. Like, let's not get that twisted. And then again, last night, he had, what, 33-10-6? Like, he's the reason that they win games.
Yeah, he's good at basketball.
It always trips me out, too. I remember seeing this a couple of years ago. Somebody posted a video clip of LeBron defending Nikola Jokic in the post, and Jokic kind of backed him down and hit, like, a jump hook over him. And then somebody, like, quoted the video and said, oh, LeBron James, overrated defense. Like,
you really? Can't do anything there.
Like really? Like, you're going to, that's...
Like, that's one play? The clip, like, you want to...
That's the one you want to use.
But
like, it's stuff like that just drives me
crazy. When you're a guy who's in that kind of spotlight, you're gonna draw unfair criticism.
Sure.
A lot of it's been fair, but you have to expect even the unfair criticism to come LeBron's way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, and everything that we just laid out, that it didn't look as bad as it might have on the surface for LeBron James and those particular incidents that we were talking about, the Kings now are the 10th seed in the West. 3 games back of the Clippers for the 8 seed, and ESPN's BPI, which I'm not smart enough to know how they figure out those equations.
Math.
They're, which explains exactly why I'm not smart enough. They gave the Lakers a 5% chance of making the playoffs. I said this last week when there was a report that the Lakers were quote-unquote seriously concerned about LeBron's groin injury, that if they weren't, they should be setting up to shut LeBron James down for the season, tank as low as you can go, and get the best draft pick that you can get to play alongside LeBron James in the years to come. And at this point, I don't know why they... I know he's not wired that way.
No.
But other than that, I don't know why that isn't the tactic and the strategy that you would take at this point.
The reason is because if they sneak up to that 7 seed and Denver's the 2 seed, they can beat Denver in a 7-game series.
Great.
They can beat anyone other than Golden State, and they could potentially get to a conference finals just by having LeBron in the playoffs. You can do that. If you can avoid Golden State until the last possible moment, you can get there. But the reason why I'm starting to, and I've always been, I will never bet against LeBron. I just can't do it. I've seen him do too many unbelievable things when his back's been against the wall. But looking at the schedule of the LA Clippers, that is why it's very, very real that they might not make the playoffs. While the Clippers don't look like a potential playoff team just on paper, where they're in eighth right now, and their schedule's as easy as it gets.
They don't want that playoff spot.
I think some people in the organization do and some don't. Like, I think it makes sense for them to not want it, but it also makes sense for them to build a culture of winning. And but keeping your draft pick, for me, would be more important than losing in 4 games to the Warriors. But so they play the Knicks twice. The Knicks are awful. They play the Cavs twice. They're awful. They play Memphis still. They play Brooklyn. They play Chicago. They play a bunch of games that they should win. They play Golden State in the last week of the season when it's very plausible that the Warriors will not be playing everybody. And if they do, it's not going to be a maximum effort night from that team. So it's very possible that that team, just sheerly based on their schedule, makes the playoffs.
But let's say LeBron does get in the playoffs.
Okay.
And they do win a first round playoff series. They won't go much farther than that. And when
depends who they match up against.
When LeBron talks about chasing ghosts, and he's talking about wanting to be unanimously declared the best player of all time over Michael Jordan, that's about winning rings for most people. I don't necessarily look at it that simply in any sport, but for most people, they're just counting rings and saying that guy is the GOAT. LeBron James getting into the playoffs and winning a first-round playoff series, while impressive with this group of guys and dragging them to some sort of success, okay. But when you talk about chasing ghosts, I don't know that that necessarily accomplishes that goal of chasing down that ghost of Michael Jordan. You have some breaking news over there.
Yes, we do have some breaking news. According to Jeff Passan of ESPN, Bryce Harper is finalizing an agreement with
the Chicago Cubs. Oh.
With the Philadelphia Phillies.
The Minnesota
the Philadelphia Phillies.
Did he have any details on the money, the years?
No, just the details that league sources tell ESPN.
Dude, Passan has been killing it. Passan got the best, to ESPN.
Man. Passan, he was killing it with Yahoo. He's
I know,
the best.
He's really taken it to another level since he got to ESPN. He is crushing it over there. But back to what I was saying, well, more on that coming up on, I'm sure, Score North Live and Mackie and Judd with Rami today.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm going to get bounced for my 2 o'clock hit.
You probably will, and rightfully so. Yeah. When you talk about LeBron chasing ghosts and being declared the GOAT, I don't know that dragging this Lakers team to the playoffs and winning a series necessarily does enough to his legacy or adds enough to his legacy to even throw into that conversation.
I think that getting this team to the playoffs after missing as many games as he missed, and if they win a series, it would rank up there with some of his better accomplishments. Look at this roster and tell me that they belong to win a playoff series. I mean, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley was a part of it for a long time. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, it is LeBron James.
So you're in the barbershop. You're having the debate.
Hang on. Okay. It is LeBron James and the chest of misfit toys.
Right.
That's what this roster is. That would be an accomplishment.
Okay.
In terms of his non-title accomplishments, like not winning a championship or not, like getting that Cavs roster in 07 to a finals is unbelievable and becomes more and more impressive every day that we look at it just because of who was surrounding him. And if this Lakers team can win a playoff series, would be up there, and then beating Golden State twice without Kyrie or Kevin Love's up there too.
Let's say 5 years from now, LeBron is retired and you're in the barbershop or the bar or wherever you debate sports, in your buddy's basement, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy is on the Michael Jordan side of the debate.
Well, he's wrong.
One guy is on the LeBron side of the debate. And the guy on the LeBron side of the debate, Manny, brings up, yeah, but remember when he dragged that Lakers team to the playoffs and won a first-round playoff series?
I'm not saying it's high
on the
list.
That guy gets laughed out of the room.
He gets laughed out of the room.
He could use that 07 team, though.
Okay.
But
he dragged them to the finals.
And what if broken down Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Larry Hughes was hurt, too. Larry Hughes didn't play in some of those finals games. He was hurt.
But he dragged that team to the finals. I'm saying a first round playoff series does next to nothing to add to LeBron's legacy.
Getting to the Western Conference Finals sure would. Winning two, absolutely, with this team and this roster.
In this conference?
Absolutely would.
All right. You guys are just LeBron honks. That's all that's going on here.
I mean, yeah, but like, that's not why this would be impressive.
I mean, you could have thrown right back at me that I'm an MJ honk, and you'd be 100% right about that.
I mean, yes, I'm biased towards LeBron, but doing this would be unbelievable.
That's Danny Cunningham. Find his musings on...